We tend to be a self-centered people. We tend to think about our own interests and our own possessions and our own pleasures, and we forget God. Thanksgiving time is a good time for us to change some of that and to think of God, to think of what He has done for us, to think of His infinite love. And so this morning, I'm speaking on Thanksgiving reminders. There are a number of passages in Scripture that remind us to be thankful, to remember His many gifts and blessings, and to speak to Him about them. And we all need such reminders. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, we all know that we should pray. We all know that we should pray with thanksgiving. These are not truths that are new to any of us. But we have a problem with both categories. We don't pray enough. I doubt if there's anybody in this congregation, including myself, that would care to stand up and say, "I pray all I ought to." Now, we all are kind of convicted on that score. We haven't prayed enough. We desperately need more prayer. And as far as thanksgiving, we often forget to thank God. We forget sometimes, even in tremendous blessings, not to mention daily blessings. But we need to correct these things. We ought to become people of prayer and people with a thankful spirit. And there's no question about that. It's encouraged in Scripture. In our hearts, we know that's true. We ought to have a spirit of thanksgiving about us, to remind ourselves constantly of His many blessings and gifts, and to thank Him for it. Now, we all know that that's a proper and virtuous thing for believers to do, and we tend to forget Him. That's too bad. And I think in keeping with that is that next verse, verse 7, "And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds." Now, why do we get upset? Why do we get worried? Why do we let our minds dwell upon things that are problems for us? Well, probably because we don't have that thankful spirit that we need. Instead, we tend to think about worries. That is self-defeating. You tend to think about your worries and they will eat you alive. We need to think about God. We need to think about His graciousness, His many answers to prayer, and a spirit of thanksgiving should flow from within us. Do you realize that when you're expressing thanks to God, you're not worrying? Oh, that may be a simple thing, but for many people, they just are habitual worriers. And the reason is they're not habitual thankers. When you thank the Lord for what He is doing, what He has done, what He is about to do, and you're sure of it, you're not worrying at that moment. That's good for you and me and everybody else in the Christian church. We ought not to be worrying when we should be thanking God. We have tremendous grounds for thanksgiving. If you stop and count your blessings, as the old hymn goes, you run out of time. There are more blessings in our lives than we can number. And we don't take time to thank God for them. But here the Apostle Paul is speaking about prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. When we pray, it ought always to be with thanksgiving. We tend to give the Lord a whole list of requests and forget to thank Him for all those answers we've already received. And that's not good. We all know that. But still, we forget. We need to make a conscious effort, friends, in our prayer life to intersperse every petition with thanksgiving. Thanks for what He has already done. Thanks for answers to prayer that we have already received. And then keep on praying and thanking God. Now, this attitude of thankfulness in verse 8 leads us to think about those things that we can be thankful for, things that are true, things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, things that God has brought into our lives that we can certainly rejoice in. And when we let our minds dwell upon His answers, His blessings, the benefits that He gives to us just poured out every day, then we're not worrying, we're not anxious. We're instead rejoicing in the grace and blessing of God. And so He stresses here, if there be any good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Let your mind dwell upon the good things that God has brought into your life. If you let your mind dwell on your worries and problems and difficulties, of course you're going to be anxious. But you need instead to think about what God has brought into your life that is good. When you start thinking about it, you can find a great deal that you can thank God for. We need to persevere in that positive attitude. Now in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul picks up this theme and continues it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and following. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, friends, that's a great idea. Abounding with thanksgiving. Now, let's confess, we don't actually abound in thanksgiving. We may stop and say, thank you, Lord, for this or that or the other. But I don't think the word abounding is the right word to characterize our practices. And we need to change that. There are so many good things that God has brought into our life, we ought to be abounding in thanksgiving. Instead, we are kind of like some children who always have a gimme attitude. Gimme this, gimme that, gimme the other. They're constantly asking for things. You rarely hear thank you for anything. And you parents know about that. You've got to train children to be thankful. The Lord has to train us to be thankful, too. We oftentimes have a childish attitude in religious things. We always want more. We always forget about saying thank you. But that's not right. We know it's not right. And we encourage others in the right direction. We need to encourage ourselves that way, too. We need a thankful spirit. Now, Paul is saying here that we ought to be mindful of the many things that we can thank God for. Now, we ought to abound in our thanksgiving. And that means make a special point of it. Keep repeating thank you to the Lord about things. Instead, we tend to worry about other things, to think about things that we haven't settled yet, and to let our minds dwell upon these things, and they begin to gnaw upon us, instead of directing our thoughts in thankfulness to God, thanking Him for what He has done. That's a long list for every one of us. Thankfulness supplants worry. Thankful spirit crowds out a worrying attitude. And that's good for all of us. We need that. We need that positive attitude of thanking God for what He has done, confident that His grace is not going to suddenly stop or disappear. It's going to continue, and we will have more to thank Him for. That positive spirit is a good thing for every one of us to cultivate. Every time something good happens in our life, we need to make it a point to say, thank you, Lord, for that. So many times we receive a great blessing, positive good in our life, and take it as though it were our due, and never even say, thank you, Lord. And we need to correct that. We need to make it a point that every time something nice happens to us, we make it a point to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this particular blessing. Thank you for this particular pleasure that has happened to us. When we encourage our hearts in that direction, we find all of life takes on a happier train. It looks brighter to us because we have much to be thankful for. In chapter 4 of Colossians, if you will turn over there and to verse 2, Paul says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Now, that's very interesting. Continue in prayer. We have other things to do, friends. There's all kinds of work responsibilities we have. There are all kinds of social and cultural responsibilities that we have. But here, he says, keep on praying. Continue praying. Now, what does that mean? That means we need to cultivate what has been called ejaculatory prayer. Not a formal set occasion when you're on your knees praying in quiet, but as life goes on and things happen, to cultivate a constant attitude of talking to the Lord. When something good happens, why not say, "Thank you, Lord, for that"? That certainly can be done. When something bad happens, when difficulties arise, why not turn to the Lord in prayer and say, "Lord, help in this matter. Give me grace. And thank you, Lord, for the grace that keeps coming." That goes hand in hand with it. And we need a positive attitude toward things in life, not a worrisome attitude. When disasters happen, socially or otherwise, we tend to get discouraged. And we tend to worry about these things. We ought not. We ought to recognize that we are fallible creatures like everybody else in the world. We make mistakes and bad things happen to us just as they do to other people. And we need to keep positive in the midst of all of this and keep thanking God because He never deserts us. He never abandons us. He is always there to help, to guide, to counsel, to strengthen us. And we can continue saying thank you, even in the midst of problems, not to mention in the midst of blessings. We need to keep our eyes open for His blessing. It says watch. Be alert. Watch for things to thank God for. Now, we tend to forget about that. We're watchful for all kinds of profit, benefit, things that we like. But to be on the watch for things to thank God about? Most of us are not watchful that way. We tend to just go on in a fog. But we ought to keep our eyes open for things that God has brought into our lives that we can thank Him for. And when you start looking, you can find a tremendous number of things to thank God about. But it's something that you must cultivate. It's a habit that we must encourage in our hearts to be looking positively at life, looking for things that are sources of blessing, and to make it a point to thank God for them. Praise His name that this is part of our existence. We have such a multitude of blessings, there's no reason to have an unthankful spirit. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes very soberly, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Now, this is important marching orders for us. We have need of prayer, and we ought to be people of prayer. Supplications, asking the Lord for help and guidance. Prayers, constantly praying about specific things, praying for people that we know need prayer, praying for missionaries that we are aware of their difficulties and hard places that they are laboring in. Sometimes we need to keep those prayer cards visible so that we can be reminded of these things. But he's saying, continue praying for these things and giving of thanks right along with all this prayer. Prayer is a good thing. We need it. The people we know need it. Missionaries need it. And you start to think about people who need prayer. There's a lot. Consider the next verse. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Yes, we have recently had an election in this country. We have a president that needs our prayers. We have officers at all levels of government, some of them new in the positions, who need our prayer. Local government officials who need prayer. There's a great deal in our own city of Greenville that needs help, needs correction. And the people that we've put in places of authority there need our prayers. Think of the police force, firemen. They encounter difficulties every day. They need our prayers. Do we pray for these people? Think of the doctors and nurses in hospitals who are constantly confronted by emergency situations, dreadful diseases and such. They need our prayers. Do we take time to pray for these people? Now, friends, there's a tremendous amount of needs in the world, and we need to take heed to this, that we may be watchful for things to pray, that we may pray for people in authority, pray for people who obviously must make critical decisions all the time and need wisdom and guidance from God, need help to accomplish His will. We ought to be praying for these things. Normally, we go about our work, go about our daily tasks, and never think of other people. Never think of people that are in positions of authority or danger or need, and pray for them. But we ought to be. The Lord has laid upon the heart of Paul here to remind us concerning these, that we might be men and women of prayer, seizing opportunities to pray because it's necessary, but along with that, giving of thanks. How many times have we thanked the Lord for the good people that He put into office for us in the past election? How many times have we thanked the Lord for the help that is available in the social services and the medical realm and such that are available here? Now, I have been on the mission field, friends, where there's none of this. I've been in places where there was no police department, where there was no hospital, where there was no help in any direction. This is a thing that in our country we don't even contemplate. Now, friends, we must thank God for the blessings that He has given to us and pray for people who don't have the advantages that we have. Now, we get our missionary prayer letters, and we know very well that many of them are ministering in places that personally we would not care to go to, places where either the climate or the surroundings would be hostile indeed. Well, it's hostile to them, too. They need our prayers, and we need to be praying and giving thanks to God for the benefits we have. The very fact that there are missionaries over there in those places attempting to meet the needs of these people, that should be a part of thankfulness that we have. We need to cultivate prayer and a thankful spirit. And obviously, we have tremendous numbers of things to pray for and to be thankful for. And we must not forget and just slip into an apathy of going on about our business, ignoring spiritual things and paying attention to the humdrum activities of daily life. We need to cause ourselves to think of things to pray for, people in need, and things to thank God for, both here and on the mission field as well. Now, we can ask ourselves questions. Do we thank God for the heritage of the past that we as Christians have? Do we thank God for the great leaders and preachers of the past? I think that's one thing that we don't cultivate in our lives. But often, friends, I think of my predecessors in the ministry. I have read sermons by Spurgeon. Many of you have, I'm sure. It's been a tremendous blessing. I've read sermons by D.L. Moody and other people like that. And I thank God for the ministry that these people had, the heritage we have because of them. We need to cultivate this, friends, of thanking God for the foundation that was laid before us, thanking God for the blessings that He has brought into our lives through the ministries of others. Now, what if these men had not gone before, had not preached the word? Well, there would have been many people in this present generation who have been a blessing to us who would not have been saved but for the ministry of those who have been in the past. We need to pray for the ministry of the word as it is done today and thank God for the preachers who are at work all over the world, on a mission field and here at home, who are preaching the word, making it possible for another generation to grow up listening to the Word of God. I can think back as a child that I heard sermons on the radio by preachers long gone now, but were a tremendous influence in my life. And I thank God for them even to this day because of the impact that they had on my life when I wasn't even saved yet. But they preached the Word, and I was listening, and it bore fruit in my life. Many of you can testify to this, that you've heard preachers on the radio and sometimes in church that have preached things that you needed to hear and that have been a benefit in your life. And it ought to be something that we remember to thank God for, the ministry of the Word, wherever it is done, by whomever does it, that God is pleased to use the preaching of His Word to help people along the way, to benefit them in their spiritual understanding. And we need to cultivate a thankful spirit for the ministry of these people who are doing it and have done it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul reminds us of responsibilities of people in hypocrisy who forbid to marry, command to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. All right, there are heretics, there are false teachers in the world who have special doctrines, twisting the faith and denying what is clearly taught in Scripture, and we need to be on our guard concerning that. But notice the positive element in verse 3. God has created food to be received with thanksgiving. And that is all food He's created for benefit. It doesn't just happen that there are things to eat on the face of the earth. The Lord has provided that for people. Back in Genesis, it was definite that God created the vegetable kingdom and the animal kingdom so that it would sustain life. And we must recognize that this food chain that we are a part of here and beneficiaries of is not an accident. It is God's providential care for mankind. He has provided all this for us, and we need to praise God for it. Now, we can thank God for the food that we love to eat. At Thanksgiving time, thanks to you, dear ladies, there's always a bountiful spread on the table at Thanksgiving time. And we don't take it for granted. We appreciate all that you ladies do to make a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner for everyone. We praise God for that. But not just at Thanksgiving time. All the food that is produced, all the cooking that goes on, that is all God's provision for His people. And it doesn't matter whether we are thanking God for turkey, as in this country, or thanking God for hamburger in some other parts of the world, or fish in other parts of the world, or some other things that we wouldn't care to eat in other parts of the world. But altogether, it's good. And I have had the opportunity of tasting a lot of these things. And sometimes it takes some degree of courage to chew and swallow some of them. I remember on one occasion, squid. I chewed that for a long, long time. It was kind of like a piece of rubber, but it too was good for the digestion. I got it down after considerable work. It's not what I would have chosen, but it turned out to be okay. And so, wherever you are in the world, there may be differences in food, but it's all designed to support life, and it does. There are some people who enjoy eating chocolate-covered ants. I never cultivated a taste for that. I wouldn't mind licking it, but... yes, there's all kinds of food to eat in the world. But none of it is accidental. God has created these things for our benefit so that we would be sustained. And because that is His will, how gracious He is to us and how much we should thank Him for whatever is our favorite dish and for all the food that we can eat, for it all sustains us. It is beneficial to us, and we need to keep thanking God daily for simple things like the food on the table. Do you realize, friends, that our Christian custom of giving thanks for food is a testimony to the world? When you're at a restaurant and you take the trouble to bow your head and ask a blessing over the food, people notice. Sometimes they have wry comments. I can remember in one restaurant I did that, and from the next table came a very loud voice, "Why do they do that?" Well, nobody at the table answered them, but I think they got the message that there was someone more important than social customs, and they needed to know that. And being able to thank God, even in a secular place like that, is a very important thing. Picture this. Here we are leading a tour over in Israel, and here we are in a local restaurant. Very different situation, very different surroundings and people. And when the food comes out, we bow our heads and give thanks for the food. After that, here comes somebody from the other side of the room. "I know you're a Christian because you gave thanks." And he starts talking. It turned out he was a missionary from somewhere else and recognized the difference that it makes, even in that situation. He was so encouraged to find somebody with the courage to ask the blessing in what was a hostile surrounding. Now, friends, we have to recognize that even in small things like that, there is a testimony possible for the Lord. We ought to seize those opportunities to give thanks to God, to praise His name, for we have much to give thanks for. And when anyone asks us about that, we can give them a long list of things to be thankful for, things that we take most seriously and they ought to think about. So it's important for us, even in matters as simple as asking a blessing at a meal. That, too, is a testimony for God. And here, the apostle lays it upon our hearts. In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, there's a passage that I want us to think about that makes a good conclusion to our discussion this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, he's been thinking about prayer and mentioning the ministry of prayer. And in verse 15, he comes to the conclusion of this by saying, "Thanks be unto God for His inexpressible gift." Now, friends, he's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, that He gave that we might live forever. A gift so great that Paul says it is an inexpressible gift. To think that the Lord of the universe would sacrifice His own dear Son for us, poor, miserable sinners such as we are. That's absolutely astounding. It is not something that anyone could imagine. It's a revelation in Scripture. God loved wicked people, poor, miserable sinners such as we are, to such an extent that He gave His Son to be sacrificed so that we could be saved and brought into His presence. And Paul is here expressing what is hard to express. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Now, that is something that we must put first on the agenda. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Thanking God for sending His Son that we might be saved. There's no other way. If there had been any other possible way that we could have been saved, God would have chosen that rather than sacrifice His Son. There was no other way. This was the one way of redeeming mankind, and He did it because He loved us so much. Friends, we should be constantly watching for opportunities to say, "Thank you, Lord." We should be always ready to thank God for the blessings of every day, for the tremendous gifts that He has given us in the person of His dear Son, the ministry of the saints and apostles who wrote this blessed book, the ministry of the saints that have been to us a great benediction. How much we have at the Thanksgiving season to praise God for. And Scripture continually reminds us remember to say thank you. Friends, let's remember. O Lord, help us that we may remember to say thank you. Help us that we may count our blessings, that we may number for ourselves the acts of mercy and grace that thou dost pour out upon us. Help us, Lord, that we remember how great thou art, and how loving, and how gracious in sending thy dear Son to die that we might live forever. Give us a thankful spirit. Help us to go through life praising thee for who thou art and all that thou hast done on our behalf. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.